Making magic's what we do. For good friends just like you. Here at TAOM.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are on our way to San Antonio, Texas. And that's going to be the, I don't know, what is it, 76th or something? No, it's not quite that many, but I think it's 60-something. Let me think about that. It's quite a few. of the Texas Association of Magicians annual convention, and we have been holding this for such a long time. It started out as a picnic so many years ago and gradually grew to the size that it is then today. Well, I should say up to a larger size, and as with most conventions, suffering the same fate, that is, of poorer and lower attendance. That's the same thing here this year. Not necessarily expecting a whole lot of people. I've heard estimates up to 200 people, which is not a lot compared to previous years, but we'll find out once we get there. I've heard estimates as low as 120 or 150 registrants, but anyhow, we'll see. So one of the things is this year, they've really not done a lot of promoting to let people know in advance who's going to be on the bill. There's been just a newsletter that has gone out monthly to kind of update us. Really not a lot of information on any of the social media on Twitter, Facebook, or anything like that to kind of let us know what's happening. So it's, we'll talk about who we know is going to be coming because right now we are actually on the road. On our way from Houston to San Antonio, and I say we because this is the fellow who is the host of the Art of Magic video blog. He's got about 16 episodes already out there on YouTube, so you need to go and check that out. Mr. Jamie Salinas. Hey there, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
We're all okay.
guess where we stop. It would not be a travel, well, it would not be a Scott Wells travel without us stopping at a place where... Guess what's in the bag?
That's right. We got the bag of the Dunkin' Donuts. So we'll make the big reveal here towards the end as to what kind of donuts that we got that you can enjoy with us. But Jamie, so now we're going to San Antonio, and yeah, the attendance is going to be down this year. But let's talk first about some of the people who are supposed to be attending. Who are some that you know are going to be here? Talent.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to seeing old friends. Don't mean old as in their age, but old as in long time.
And we're getting to be older, and you just celebrated a birthday yesterday, in fact.
Yeah, I did. So I'm now 27 years old.
Wow, old enough to vote.
And it's funny because my daughter's, what, 25, 26, something like that? But anyway, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of friends. Paul Prater, Joe and Carol Given, and some new friends like Maddie Gilbert. Let's see, Paul Driscoll, who's basically grew up near us and is a Magic Island regular. Who else is on the bill?
Richard Turner, Stuart McDonald.
Well,
Stuart and Lori.
Well, yeah, Richard Turner is legendary. I mean, I remember meeting Richard at Fiesta Texas. He was performing at one of the performing his show, gambling themed show, during the gambling section or the cowboy western part of the theme park. And I mean, you know, I had no idea the guy was legally blind at that point. And I met him, shook his hand, and still had no idea. And I was still blown away, regardless of being sight or sighted or sightless or whichever. I mean, the guy's just phenomenal, period.
Another person we don't want to forget, of course, is James DeMare.
It's been many years since I've seen James. I saw him last at the Magic Castle many years ago. Very sophisticated, beautiful manipulation, dove act, and I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, he's got a nice show that is going to be no doves. I just saw his Martinis and Magic show in Las Vegas at the Thunderbird, which I'd recommend if you get an opportunity to go to Vegas to be sure and catch his show. It's not every night, so you need to make sure that when you catch it, find out when you're going to be there, but it is again more of a talking act, and so he's going to be presenting that, I believe, at this convention.
Oh well, either way, I'm looking forward to seeing James.
And Carol Massey is going to be giving a lecture also, I guess, about, you know, women in magic, you know, not necessarily as an assistant, but as a magician that she assists Joe Given, or I should say Joe assists her sometimes. I mean, they're really a partnership, very much like Mark Kalin and Ginger and that kind of a thing. So I understand that she's going to be giving a lecture while we're here, too.
This will be really interesting to hear. It's kind of like Kyle and Misty Knight as well. You know, they're more of a partnership type act as well. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to the bazaar show. There's going to be an actual bazaar show this year.
Yeah, you know, that's something that little at a time over the years that we have been featuring as a Midnight Madness kind of a thing. It used to be that when Roger Klaus was alive that he would host his Midnight Madness and he would ask friends to stand up and do one trick. And then for a while, I believe that you, Jamie, had hosted that and then Danny Garcia did. I don't know if they're going to be having such a thing like that, but that kind of morphed into, after his passing, after a couple of years, into this mentalism or bizarre kind of show. And this year, Paul Prater, I know, is going to be having something to do with that.
Actually, there's going to be both. There's going to be a Midnight Madness and the Bazaar Show. So there'll be two separate functions.
Oh, they will. Okay.
And I've hosted a couple of those. Danny Garcia hosted the last one in Houston. And I am biased, but that probably was the best Midnight Madness show I've ever seen. I mean, we've had some incredible performers, and then we had some very spontaneous events happen, and it's definitely one of those you had to be there to really appreciate it and enjoy it.
You remember some of the people who were in that show?
Absolutely. John Archer, which is the funniest man on the planet.
You've said that many times.
He is the funniest man on the planet. Michael Weber, the most creative man on the planet. Who else was on that program? Danny performed. And little-known Alex Rangel. Alex did a fantastic job, very funny. And the podcast guy, Xavier Spade. He did the hook routine that he's selling online as well. It's just pretty amazing, very, very, very good, very dramatic, and it's just great, great all around.
And that was last year's show. So that's the kind of talent we can kind of look forward to and the kind of show that we can hopefully expect to see this year in San Antonio. Well, I think San Antonio, of course, certainly is a great convention city to host this event or any event because it is big on tourism and right down there on the Riverwalk. It's beautiful this time of the year. It's just when school is starting, so we got a three-day weekend. And also that it is just blocks away from the Alamo, and there are a lot of things to see and do and great places to eat. There's a, what is the name of that? There's a great restaurant I want to go to. I think, didn't you just recently go to that? I think I saw you posted that on Facebook. What was that?
There is a family business called Mi Tierra.
It's a
staple of San Antonio. It's a great place. If you go there, I'm going to make a recommendation. I recommend you get the breakfast. They serve it 24 hours a day. The place never closes, and of course they have Mexican pastries, so grab you a bag to go so you can have instead of Dunkin' Donuts, we can have some Mexican bread on the way back.
Yeah, maybe we might grab that. That sounds fun. That'd be interesting. Speaking of that, you know, I'd first heard of that place, of all people, from Michael Mode. Actually, Michael had sent me a text saying, hey, if you're going to be going to San Antonio, you need to try Mi Tierra. And I did, and that was the first time I'd been there. And it's amazing because San Antonio does have so many fine Mexican restaurants and other eateries, restaurants around to try. But that just has a nice eclectic feel, and it is kind of touristy, but it was darn good.
Well, see, I have fond memories. When I was little, my dad was in a softball team, and they would tour around Texas and various states, and we would go to San Antonio. We would go to Mi Tierra and have breakfast, and that place was real tiny and small, and now they've grown to take up probably a half a city block there, it seems like. It's huge, and they have a bar. It's really nice, it's just a great place, and they have a Wall of Fame where they have a bunch of murals, where they have paintings of famous Hispanic people. And I actually have a family member who's painted on the wall there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. That's kind of cool. And I recall also that out front there's kind of a street scene also. There are a lot of vendors and things kind of out there in the area hawking their stuff.
Well, it is in San Antonio Market Square where they have the market across from. They have a farmer's market, and then they have the pretty much a tourist type market where they have a lot of imports from Mexico, like a lot of little the kid toys and the products and leather goods and that kind of thing, all the imports right across from there, to kind of give you that feel of when you would go to Mexico and go to those markets to buy your goods.
Right. Well, as far as San Antonio, again, that's a great location for the convention. I'm looking forward to it. And here it's fairly early morning. It's getting on to about 10 o'clock in the morning right now as we head on up to San Antonio. And that there are a lot of top talented entertainers who are going to be here, as well as, Jamie said, a lot of performers and friends that we've known for a long number of years. Jamie was the president of the TAOM. Was it 2 years ago or last year? When did we last have in Houston? Was it last year?
It feels like it was 10 years ago, but yes, it was last year. But hey, a quick little story about San Antonio. That is the place that actually got me started into magic, because at the Market Square, I saw a street performer. And in fact, this past weekend, there was a street performer there. And so when I was 19 years old, I saw a guy named Mario. I don't remember his last name. He did sponge balls, cups and balls, and you know, the various street type magic performances. And it was really fun, entertaining. And that's really the progression of 3 weeks in a row of me seeing magic that got me hooked and started into my magic career.
And that was not Mario the Magician, obviously. No, not that guy.
Not the Maker. It was Mario, probably Gonzalez, Salinas, Villarreal. It was one of those Marios, not the Italian descent Marios.
Yeah, not the one who was, by the way, Mario was at your convention in Houston last year then, too.
Yes, Mario the Maker Magician and his lovely wife, Katie, they're a fantastic duo. You know, Katie's working behind the scenes as a road manager, booker, and, you know, just, you know, in fact, if you check his site, he's going on tour, and we're lucky. Houston is going to be one of the stops that he's going to visit coming up in 2020, so we'll get to hang out with Mario again.
You are one of the top, or if not one of, perhaps the top magician, kids show magician in Houston, and I don't do many or any children's shows, but I do say that Mario the Maker really is phenomenal. He's fantastic, and I did chat with him, so if you want to know more about him, go back into the archives and listen to the chat I had with Mario. He is just Mr. Excitement. I mean, he just it bubbles over with, you know, so many ideas, and he really is a maker, and also he encourages youth to get involved with making things also, and wanting them to be creative and innovative. And he teaches this in schools, and he goes to these maker events that are conventions that teach children how to do things. And there, he gives you suggestions online about how that you can create then as well. So, yeah, Mario is the whole package. He's a pretty cool guy.
You know, a while back there was a group of magicians that would say, "What would Michael Weber do?" And so people have actually gotten tattoos about that.
Tattoos?
That's what I hear. So I am now on the What Would Mario Do bandwagon. So when I am a family entertainer, so I do a lot of family children's events. And a week ago, I worked a really tough situation, and I literally thought to myself, what would Mario do? And I smiled, and I said, sure, absolutely. And we took care of whatever the customer needed. Sorry for clapping, but see, Mario gets me excited. And so that just popped in your ear. Sorry about that.
But that's right, yeah, because you were going to be outdoors, and that wasn't what you had planned. But then after you started thinking about what Mario would do, then you decided, I'll be flexible.
I mean, it's only 100 degrees outside at 9 o'clock p.m. when I'm doing the show poolside, and the parents said, hey, would you know, the kids are wet. They were in the pool.
Vehicle stopped on road ahead.
Sorry, we are traveling. So anyway, so the parent asks, hey, the kids are wet. Do you mind doing the show outside? And, you know, again, it's hot outside. It's humid. But I thought, what would Mario do? It's the last show of the day. So, sure. I mean, I was dripping with sweat by the end, but we all had a great time.
And you had no other show after that. So, yeah, that makes sense. Well, listen, anyhow, that we're on our way to San Antonio, as you hear, and there's a stopped car ahead, I guess, which will give us time to enjoy our coffee and donuts. Now, it's time for the big reveal.
That's right.
So, per your request, what I got you was a...
my favorite.
A chocolate-covered chocolate. And that's my favorite, too. So, actually, there are two of them in there. And you just wanted one donut this morning, and I got a second one. So, my surprise, because I always get a chocolate-chocolate, so my surprise donut for the day is a chocolate eclair. So, it's got the kind of the custard filling inside of the chocolate Long John. And, of course, a cup of coffee. So, with that, Jamie and Scott Wells are heading to San Antonio. Thank you, Jamie.
I think we may have to stop and buy some pants with elastic waistbands.
This is Scotty out. No. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and we have just checked into the convention here in San Antonio at the Hilton Del Rio, which is on the Riverwalk here in San Antonio, and one of the local residents of San Antonio, and I'm glad and proud to call a fellow Texan, is Richard Turner, and I'm going to hit him here right now. Hey there, Richard, how are you?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I'm doing well.
Yes, you are. You're looking good. Now, you are the guest of honor for this year, is that right?
Yeah, whatever that means, I'm the guest of honor. Maybe that means I get an extra cupcake is what I'm hoping.
Well, I think that means you have to underwrite all of this. In other words, you pay for it.
All the beers are on me.
That's right. Basically, yeah, okay. We go to the bar, that, you know, that's going to be on you. Yeah.
There's an open tab, and then I close it.
Yes.
Is that, okay, got it.
Yes, you got it. So, hey, I just got an email, I think, from your son, Asa, who was saying recently, aren't you going to London? You got something coming up that's kind of cool?
Oh, yeah. I'm performing at some theater in London.
Again.
As I return from a theater in Australia,
uh-huh.
And right before that, I'm filming another television special for NBC in 2 weeks. That comes on right after Saturday Night Live, so you can watch that for that.
Huh.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't remember the name of the theater, but there'll be a couple shows, a matinee and an evening show.
And it's going to be open to the public?
To the public. It's for the public.
So this isn't like a command performance for the Queen or something like that?
No. It's and the people that do it, they have, I know, Sylvester Stallone and, you know, a lot of interesting people.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Nice company. Have you ever done anything for the Queen? Have you met the Queen?
Nope, I've not met the Queen. I met Princess Di's bodyguard before she died.
Wow, okay. You weren't a bodyguard ever. I mean, I know you're a black belt, but you...
No, but I was. There was an old cult, or not really a cult, but a film called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes that was an extremely low-budget film.
Yeah.
But it it just was so badly made that it became a classic. And I was during the promotion, I was the bodyguard for the Killer Tomato.
For the Killer Tomato?
Yeah, that was 45 years ago.
So was it somebody dressed in a tomato
like
a costume?
Giant tomato,
you just
kind
of walk around to make sure that, it wasn't going to be
nobody was going to, that was 45, 46 years ago.
So when you say low budget, they probably didn't pay you very much for being a bodyguard.
No, not back then. Of course, back then, a buck would have been a lot for me.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you said that you're going to be just going from Australia to London. I mean, that's kind of
I'm going from I'm going from Boston to Hollywood to Indianapolis, from Indianapolis to Vegas, from Vegas to Australia for 8 days, from Australia to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta to London.
And that's over the next, now through the end of the year?
No, that's just the next
few weeks. Wow, okay.
And there's a few other stops in between, but that's the part I remember.
Which one are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Australia.
Have you been there before?
No, the movie Delta's playing all through there, and that's
how they... Oh, you're going to be promoting
that? No, but that's how they, why they booked me.
Based on that.
Based on that, yeah.
So has that movie really been doing really well?
Oh, yeah, it became the biggest download of all times on iTunes, and it's in international release, so it's on Netflix everywhere in the world, and it's on Hulu and Amazon Prime, Google Play, Comcast, iTunes here in the United States. So you can get it on any of those platforms, but outside the United States you can't get it. You can get it on Netflix. But it also had a theatrical release depending on which country and so on.
Did you go to some of the other countries when they had those releases?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that, and I'll be in, I'm going to be performing at Artscape in Cape Town, South Africa. It's right now it's playing in all 56 countries in the continent of Africa.
Wow.
And so they have an international comedy I'll call it a comedy convention, since we're magician convention, kind of familiar with the term. So, and they wanted a headliner. And so all these world-renowned comedians, I'm going to be the headliner for and that's going to be Cape Town, South Africa. But that won't be till next March.
Fall, I guess, for them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of in the middle, which is kind of nice. And they said it's that particular place is pretty nice weather pretty much all year round. And then I'm going to the Soviet bloc, Kazakhstan, the government of Kazakhstan, the Ministry of Culture, were in negotiations, contract to go perform there. And of course, you know, back when it was the Soviet bloc, you know, the Ministry of Culture was, you know, the composers and the symphonies, they were very culturally inclined in Russia, but yet they'd go to the opera and then they'd go kill somebody. And so okay. When I told them it was the government formally that it was paying for my trip and everything, and I thought, and it's the miniature of culture, it kind of made me think of the good old days when it was the bad old days and then with the Soviet bloc.
Right, yes.
But Kazakhstan's the largest landlocked country in the world.
Well, how'd you get that gig? I mean, that seems
They saw Delt.
Wow.
In fact, that's part of the contract. And they had to get permission from Sundance, IFC Sundance, the distributor of the film. And, well, actually, there was the international distributor, which is Q Media, to play. They want to play the film before my show, and then I do my show.
Right. Wow. Sounds like you got a lot of stuff lined up over here. Keeping very busy.
Yeah, and that's just a couple of things of a number of things going on. We also have board games and puzzle games that are going to be coming out
really?
In the next year that I created. And my partner is a guy named David Reichel. He created Color Switch. Have you played Color Switch?
I have not played Color Switch.
Oh, it is the number one game in the number one app in the world in 2015, 2016. Over a quarter of a billion people downloaded his game. Over a billion people have seen it. And he's one of my partners.
Uh-huh.
And I have a number of games that I created. That some of the gamblers and my magician friends have played them over the years. Now, all of a sudden, there's a massive market for them as electronic games. So we're in the process of getting all those things.
That's going to be released next year, 2020?
Yes, 2020. Okay. There's three of them. One of them might be possibly by the end of 2019, but probably safer to say 2020.
At Christmas of next year. Yeah.
No, beginning of 2020. Sometime,
oh, okay.
No,
fairly soon.
Either end of this year, Christmas time. Or the beginning of next year.
Gotcha.
But
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So that's your next major project?
That's one of the major projects. And then I also have a cool thing. You know, I love, probably 95% of what I do now is speaking, performing.
Mm-hmm.
So like last year, I was a keynote speaker at Apple, Facebook, Google. You know, those are some of the names people would be familiar with. And
not doing card tricks, just speaking.
No. Oh, no, my card stuff is woven through my speaking.
Okay.
It's a whole experience. So I'm there. They're being entertained, comedy, laughter, as well as my message winning with the hand you've been dealt.
All the emotions.
Yeah. So it's been really fun. That fact that that's where they got the name for the movie was from watching my inspirational, motivational program called Dealt.
That was the hand you were dealt.
Winning with the hand you've been dealt is the name of the program.
Yeah.
And then I just got picked up by the biggest speakers bureau in the world. And they came to me because Kuwait called them, and they have a television series there. And they said, they had just booked Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jay Leno, all these major celebrities. You know, the name of the bureau is APB is their acronym, and Kuwait said, "We want Richard Turner for our next series." And they go, "Richard, I haven't heard of Richard Turner."
Hmm.
And then he checked. He goes, "Oh my God, how have I not heard about this guy?" Anyway, so and they said, "We want to represent you." And then when I saw the names of the people they represent, I go, "Oh my God, these are the biggest players in the business."
In the world,
so, and he says, "And we're, you know, and they also want to." All of a sudden, my fees are going to...
Put another zero on that.
Yeah, no, yeah, two more zeros.
Two more zeros, wow.
Yeah. I'm going, okay. And so we're flying out to meet the whole... Yeah, they have lost their main offices in Boston, Chicago, San Diego, London, Paris, Egypt, and then a couple other countries I can't remember offhand, but they have offices all over the world.
Yeah.
But they represent, you know, people all over the world.
So. Well, I'm glad I got a chance to catch up with you over here. You know, as busy as you are and in between something.
I flew in last night from doing business in L.A. regarded with the game and as a keynote.
Right.
But my friend Doug Gorman said, "Oh, you've got to come to our TOM. It's in your backyard. You have no excuses not to. Plus, all your friends like Scott Wells will be there." And so I said, "Okay, I'll tell my manager block off those days." And it was like a 20-minute Uber ride, and here I am.
And here you are. Well, you know, perhaps some future date, whenever you're going to have a little downtime in San Antonio, I'll come up in Houston. We'll sit down and do a proper interview for about an hour. We could sit and chat for a lot longer.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to say.
I know it.
The last time you and I were talking was whenever that you had the premiere of Delt, and we were doing it in Houston. I was doing just a Skype call back and forth.
I remember that. But the boys Houston were at the theater watching
that's right.
it. Yeah.
That's right.
All my buds.
Well, Rich, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Scott's always a pleasure.
I'm so glad that you're the guest of honor.
I'll shake your hand. I'll shake one of them. The other one had better.
That's right. You got some cards in there. Yeah. He's always got a deck of cards in his hand.
Well, I'm decked out. Casually decked
out. That's right. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Richard Turner. This is Scotty out. Well, as we move from the registration desk over into the dealer's room, there's still a lot more people who are going to be coming. So the dealer's room right now is pretty darn empty, except for a few friends who are here, and one is a past president and a fellow who is this year is celebrating his 60th year in Magic. 70th year. Okay, I didn't want to make you seem too old, but now I will.
I started in 1949 when I was 6 years old.
Mr. Kent Cummins. Hi there, Kent.
Hi there, Scott.
I'm so glad to have you. 70 years you've been doing this, and so I knew that you do this like in the military also.
I've done it I wasted the first 6 years of my life, but
okay.
Christmas 1949, A.C. Gilbert Misto Magic Set.
You remember it like yesterday.
And I opened it up and said, I'm going to be a magician. Mm-hmm. And for years as a kid magician, I called myself Misto the Magician. I learned later from Bill Larson at Genie, actually, that almost every city in the country had a kid magician who called himself Misto.
That's interesting. I've not heard that story.
Yeah, no, that's I've got that in writing from Bill Larson.
Huh.
But I was obsessed with magic. I loved magic. Most little boys get interested in magic and then grow out of it.
Uh-huh.
And they get interested in girls, and they get interested in sports. They get interested in other things. But my sports was juggling. Girls was I needed a beautiful assistant on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything always went through the lens of being a magician.
I remember that you had a restaurant that was downtown by the Capitol also.
Right.
And did you do magic at your own restaurant?
It was called the Sam Witch Shop, a little cartoon witch named Sam. And that cartoon witch did magic. We had a costume character, Sam Witch. I sawed Sam Witch in half in a show one time. In the high school, in college, in the Army, all my life, I've always done magic. And in 1986... I went full-time. So that's how I've made my living since then.
Of all the places that you performed and visited, and both in the military and just in your professional life as a magician, where's the most exciting place or most memorable to you?
Well, the most memorable is Vietnam during the Tet Offensive.
Wow, and you were performing magic?
I was able to do a little bit of magic. I called it wartime wizardry.
Wow.
And that's when I met Denny Haney,
okay.
who was also a young junior officer in the military.
Yeah.
And I also met Chuck Berry's younger brother, I think. He was in a nearby thing, which has nothing to do with magic, but it was just, you know, celebrities.
Huh. Wow.
And the most memorable thing that has anything to do with entertainment in Vietnam was I did pick up live hand grenades, and juggle them.
Live hand grenade juggling.
Yeah. Okay. As long as the pins don't come out, they're not dangerous.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else.
Oh,
and if
gosh.
The pins had come out, I would have been running very, very, very fast.
You wouldn't have been a magician very long with your hands blown off. Holy cow. That's kind of memorable. Certainly. Now, just to conclude over here, I want to remind everybody that the Austin's World Famous Auction is going to be coming up. So tell us a little about that.
Well, my friend Peter the Adequate, who is currently president of the SAM Assembly 206 in Austin, has been trying for a couple years to get everything together to have another auction. It's been a few years since we've had one. And this year, it's short notice because it's coming up on September 28th. I mean, it's coming up really fast. But it's going to be a little bit smaller, but still big enough. He's going for 1,000 silent auction items, 200 stage items, and about another 100 collectibles. In a special silent auction. So it will be in the First Baptist Church downtown Austin, where it was for many years, and it'll have some of our favorite auctioneers, you, for example,
yeah,
and me, for example, and Grant Walsh, and C.J. Johnson thinks he's going to be able to come do a celebrity turn.
Yeah.
Judy Hollingsworth will do a speed auction.
Speed auction, right.
So we're going to be missing David Hyrub. He's got something else going on that weekend. But other than that, it'll be kind of like a retrospective of the world-famous Austin Magic Auction.
Yeah, that was certainly a lot of fun for the number of years we did it. In fact, that if you go back in the archives and look up the Magic Auction, then you will hear a podcast that we did and talking about that in more detail.
Remember, we did that at the auction.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was many years ago.
And it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And so, yeah, I've been doing this podcast for 9 years, and you've been doing that. How many years has this auction been going? When did it start?
I used to have it memorized in the late 70s.
Okay, it's been a long time.
Well, it's been a very long time.
Very long time. And speaking of 70s, again, that you said that you're celebrating your 70th anniversary, one last thing, and that is you're going to be having a show. Isn't that right, coming up to celebrate the
two 70? Shows, really. I've rented the Scottish Rite Theater in downtown Austin, which is a theater that the Magic Clubs have used for what we call Magic at the Capitol for about 5 years. But this year, we're not doing Magic at the Capitol. I'm doing my show on Sunday, November the 3rd.
Okay.
The only problem is it's a small theater, 250 seats. And I'm going to do a matinee for the Magic Camp for the scholarship program, and then the evening show will benefit the TAOM for the Austin Convention, which is coming up in 2021. So the shows will be benefiting good things. But the main thing is, it's just a celebration. I couldn't believe it myself. 70 years I've been loving and performing magic. And so I'm going back into the archives, pulling out some big illusions that I haven't done in decades, and refurbishing them, and they'll be in the evening show. So it's just going to be amazing.
Where can people get tickets?
KentCummins.com.
Okay.
Pretty easy. KentCummins.com. And I've got family coming from all over the country to celebrate with me, and friends from all around. But we had a VIP upgrade. It's already sold out. But general admission tickets are still available as of right now for both shows.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it, Kent.
Hey,
good luck
you,
with
Scott.
The show. And also hope that you guys can come to the auction. It's going to be in Austin, and more details will be, where is that, the Austin Auction?
AustinMagicAuction.com.
There we go. Get the information there. So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Kent Cummins, my buddy, past president of the TAOM also.
In 1983.
1983. Mine was the year 2000.
And in 1983, you wrote up the review of the convention for Genie Magazine.
I did. That's right.
And you gave us a very good review. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for remembering. You had
if
a long
you
memory.
We might not still be friends.
What a memory. This is Scotty out. Okay, well, again, you can't really tell who you're going to be bumping into, and I did happen to run into another friend that if you go back again in the archives, you can find this one I had done with David Parr, and he is one of the performers and also going to be doing a Midnight Bazaar show here, and he is my guest right now. Hey, David, good to see you.
Hi.
So you had just gotten in today, I guess, obviously, or did you get in yesterday?
Just today.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be doing the Bazaar show. What is this going to be about? Tell the listeners what this means.
Well, someone had the idea to do a Bazaar program sort of in tribute to Ed Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And so asked a bunch of people if they'd contribute to it, and I said, yeah, sure. So that's
there
what we're
go.
Doing.
So it's going to be several people doing, you know, Paul Frazier,
yeah,
and some other
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I think there'll be like five or six people on the bill.
Okay. You know, that's something that I was talking with my friend Jamie Salinas earlier about how that it used to be we'd have a Midnight Madness. Well, they're still having a Midnight Madness that used to be hosted by Roger Klaus many years ago. But then in the last several years, we've started to have this Midnight Bazaar type of addition to the convention. And it's always a lot of fun, having really some very interesting people. So did you bring something special that you're going to spook us out with?
Oh, yeah. Or? Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Is this something that you do as part of your show in Chicago then now, or where do you? What are you doing?
We wrapped the show in Chicago. I was performing my Cabinet of Curiosities show at the Chicago Magic Lounge for a year.
That's what I was thinking, like on Tuesday or something?
Every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I was
not doing that.
In residence there for a year,
right.
And then they wrapped up my contract. So I'm actually searching for a new home for that show. I've been looking for theaters, searching around. I've seen a lot of theaters in Chicago
there are
now,
a lot of theaters, yeah.
But I haven't found the right one yet.
Okay. Yeah, I was up there not too long ago with Don Weiberg, and we'd gone to a church someplace to see some guy who was just passing through. There was a little theater in a church that they had used. I don't remember the name of it, but he might be able to tell you what it is. But I know that they've got other legitimate theaters, but this was just a little, you know,
church. Chicago has so much theater and so much storefront theater.
Yeah.
You know, just little places. They're just a black box space. And so that's what I've been searching around for.
Yeah. When you and I first talked, you were working with P.J. Murphy. Is that right?
P.T. Murphy.
P.T. Murphy. I always get that guy. P.T. And I just happened to see him. He was at Magic Live. And I hadn't seen him in years and years. And he's up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, I think.
He's in Galena. Galena, Illinois.
Okay. Yeah. And he's got his own thing. And he's doing another show up over there.
Yep.
And so you were carrying on then. I know Magic Lounge is real, really successful and doing well. And they've got a good audience coming in, you know, then all the time. Have they replaced you? Have they got something else that's on that Wednesday
night? Yeah, there's something else in the Wednesday night slot, but I have no idea what it is.
Okay. And when you were doing that, was it kind of the seance kind of thing that you were going to be talking about for tomorrow or not?
No, not really. It was, the premise was I had this cabinet on stage that had all these weird artifacts in it. And so each piece had to do with some artifacts on the shelves. And there were points in the show where the audience got to choose which artifact we would examine next. So there was
concept.
A sort of choose-your-own-adventure aspect to
Is
the
that
show.
Is one of those like, desks that you roll up and they've got like a little pigeonhole kind of
No, it was like a big bookshelf five shelves, and it was just loaded with weird-looking artifacts.
And they would decide which things you're going to do
yeah.
the trick with.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I was talking with someone some years ago about a book test, and they were saying that they used to pull out, like, I don't know, a dozen different books, and there were different book tests, and whichever one they used, that was the test they would use.
Right.
Instead of bringing out a book test and say, okay, pick one of the three or whatever,
sure.
he would go into whichever one they wanted, and he knew them all, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to collect them, you might as well use them.
Well, there are so many book tests, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So bring them all, you know, dump them out, and you go that direction. And so the idea, I'm thinking, you know, with the things that you have, the artifacts over there, you've done, it doesn't matter. I mean, whichever trick and whichever order they want to do, that's a good idea.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Kind of challenging, keep you on your toes.
Yeah. And there was about, I'd say, 2 decades worth of material all stuffed into that cabinet.
Yeah.
And it was great because the show changed every week, and that kept it fresh for people and fresh for me.
Yeah. Too. So what are you working on now? So I've been looking for another venue.
Well, while I'm searching for a new home for the show, I decided, well, I wonder if there's a way to tour this. Because it was never designed to travel because I've got this giant cabinet on the stage. So then I realized the cabinet itself doesn't have to travel with me. I can find a bookshelf or something like it in any city I go to. Mm-hmm. I just need to travel with the artifacts that go in the cabinet.
Yeah.
So I've been touring the show. I've done it now in Seattle and San Francisco and Baltimore and Milwaukee, and I'm set to do it in Denver next.
Okay. 90-minute show?
It's a little over an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's mainly what I've been doing.
Yeah,
I have another show called Dark Magic that's run a few times in a theater in Chicago.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that most of the business of magic is trying to find the business.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the game, to sort of find the right place. You know, I was lucky with the Magic Cabaret, the show you saw that I did with P.T., we ran for 10 years, you know, P.T. was with the show for 5, and then Joe Diamond was my co-star for 5 years.
Yeah.
So if you can find the right place, people will come see the show.
Sure.
It's finding the place that really fits it.
Right. That's the hard part. Yeah.
Yeah.
For all
of
us. Yep. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Thanks very much, David.
Good to talk with
you. Good to you as well. So with the Magic Word Podcast, I was David Parr. This is Scotty out. All right, so we're getting ready to head over to the evening show, and it's over in the, believe it or not, Magic Theater here.
Magic with a K.
With a K in San Antonio. And I'm here with good buddy James DeMere. Hey there, Jim.
You can't get enough of me, can you, baby?
I can't, you know. Some of you may have heard his voice before just a few weeks ago when we were over at Magic Live, and I've got a longer, extended podcast with him that I recorded whenever that we were there. So it should be about an hour that you will hear coming up sometime soon. But you know what I was just thinking earlier today is that I feel like, you know, you are Captain James T. Kirk, you're Jim, and I'm Scotty. Oh, so Jim and Scotty.
You're Scotty. That's funny. Right, except I can do the voice, Captain Kirk. But it can't get no more power in the day. You're listening to crystals.
I'm good at all I got, Captain.
Yeah, you're better, see? Well, I don't know why I make out with aliens. I like three nipples. I don't know. Something for the kids.
That's right. So Jim and I have been having a few martinis before we started over here for the show this evening. And you're going to be in tomorrow night's show or Sunday's?
What show? Sunday.
Sunday.
Opening.
And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be some of the stuff you've done from your Martinis and Magic show there at Thunderbird.
Yeah, it's going to be a condensed version. It's going to be, you know, hit them over the head. Some material magicians haven't seen before. The closer, I don't think anybody's seen. You've seen it. A couple things you've seen, but it's more on presentation than the trick. And I'm actually doing the trick you told me not to do because three people who are associated with this, no, do that. Don't do the newspaper. Do Sketchpad.
Okay, yeah.
But, hey, I've got to tell you something about Scott. He reminded me. He's really good. He reminded me of a piece of music in Vegas, and then he reminded me here again. But it's good he reminded me because he hadn't texted me the title, and we went through it.
Yeah,
so I can change the floating table, and then it will be finished.
Perfect. I think so.
Yeah.
You just need that little, you know, that's what magic is all about, I think. It's not just necessarily the overall, they are the minute points.
Oh, yeah.
You know, attention to detail is the essence of showmanship, as Henning Nelman would say.
You know? Well, you know, it's here's the thing that I always found amazing. Music was always in the background. Music was never done to lyrics. I look at a lot of the older acts, and they worked pretty closely to their music. But it wasn't until Ricciardi worked beat to beat, and he would actually do these really weird cuts in music dramatically. They were musically incorrect, but, you know, as far as cut here, cut there, but with the, if the beats, if you talk to a musician, well, no, it still is musically correct just because you did this and did that. So he was the first one I really saw the attention to detail with the music. And then, of course, Copperfield comes out and just starts working the music with lyrics. And I think we all went, what the hell is that? You can't do that.
That's right, using U2 and all those others.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah.
And that opened up a whole... I mean, I very seldom now work to music that doesn't have a lyric to it, which is great because, and a lot of it, you know, especially the Martinis and Magic show.
Frank Sinatra type stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you're working kind of to the essence of the lyric. Okay, so the opening of the show is rolled on a string and I'm actually working with a big piece of rope and it's more exactly to it. But, you know, there's still the essence of it is that duality of how he feels about life and... That's what happens there. When I do the zombie to Nina Simone's I Put a Spell on You, well, that's very romantic, and that's the relationship between me and the ball. So I think in Copperfield, I know we're straying, but it's just a real great point. There have been different magicians that have really opened up the theater and musicality for magicians. So now it's wide open. So that's why it's good when me and you get together, we just start talking about stuff, and you go, hey, blah, 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 blah. Because I've learned to always be open. Never say no.
Right.
You know? And that being said, again, I'm really glad that Scott reminded me to use Quiet Village.
That's the song.
That's the song.
Well, you know, it's just a fine point, you know, but I think it's something that would add so much more.
Right.
But, well, thanks for listening to me. I appreciate that.
Well, no problem. Now we're walking into the theater.
We are, walking into the Magic Theater then right now. And so... We're going to be. So we've got our numbers. We go straight on in.
You're sitting at F17, and you're in K's.
I'm way in the back of the bus, I think.
Okay.
So
yeah, it is.
So yeah, our names are actually on the badges, and they tell us where we're supposed to be seated.
That's right, and we're in a cool theater, but it's actually to do a lot of kids shows here. So it's funny to be walking into Alice in Wonderland to kind of see a magic show, which is apropos, but. Not so much depending on who the comic is. The comedy, if it was Michael Finney, this would not be appropriate.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. It's going to be different.
Yeah. And that's no offense to Michael Finney. He's just very, we don't think of balloons and puppy dogs and ponytails. You know, not even Matt King.
And Sal.
Sir.
So also we got Sal Manfredo right here, who's happened to be the president of the TOM. So hello, Sal.
Hello, Scott. How are you doing this evening?
Fantastic. So tell me, so everything is going along so far, so good?
Everything is going along fantastically. So it's just great. I wish we had some more contestants, but what we have is the cream of the crop.
It's going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And the rest of the shows are going to be good. I know you got Jim here. Are we going to be performing?
Oh, yeah. We got Jim. And,
I could have competed.
No,
you can't.
The way the contest rules are written, we specifically had your name in there.
Oh, you'd say he can't win, but...
How many registrants have we got this year?
We're looking at about 200 right now.
Okay, good.
Okay. So we've got a nice little crowd going on, and then the ticket sales for the theater have been great on brownpapertickets.com.
This is a wonderful theater, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It took me 2 years to find it, to actually get it negotiated. First year and a half, I couldn't get any answers from them, and then it's just kind of...
Now, when we had our mid-year meeting, you were telling us, what year was this made?
Oh, geez, 1800s? In the 1800s.
Wow.
It was a German beer garden at one time, and for their singing. And then it went and became a exhibition hall during the 1969 fair that they had here in San Antonio. And the company that bought it turned it back into a theater.
Well, I'll try to talk with you towards the end of the convention, now that we're talking, what are you looking forward to? What's been some of your challenges to try to get this going?
Oh, there's nothing that's really been big. I've managed to take care of stuff before, a little spark versus a big fire. So,
This guy is way too smooth. He's way too easy. Walk up to we got it.
Hey,
he's awesome.
You should see it when somebody comes up and says, oh, I already took care of it. And they're like, that really blows them away.
Yeah. So is there something that someone that you were wanting to get? I mean, a lot of times that when I was working with David Hira back in 97, he was the president. He said, I don't care who you get to get Tommy Wonder, because I was working as his talent chairman. He said, get Tommy Wonder and anybody else is going to be gravy on top of that. But have you got somebody that you were wanting to get? I mean, aside from James Merrick.
We had a couple
don't
names
butter my
in
cup.
There.
I'm standing right here.
No, we had a couple that we were trying to get, and like the Sacred Rihanna. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get her, and then her name eludes me, the ventriloquist, the young lady that does ventriloquism.
Oh, sure. That was on America's Got Talent?
Yeah, right.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I would have paid to see that.
No, instead we're paying you to be here.
So anyhow, that the convention is going so well so far. It looks like everything's been very well managed, and had a lot of lectures this afternoon, starting out with Scott Hollingsworth at noon, and then we had... Harry Allen, Scott Hollingsworth, and Oscar Munoz.
Right. And so we've got that started, and then they had a little dealer's demos so people could see the new stuff that the dealers have actually be operated in front of them and by quality person. Right? Because when they're in the dealer room, the dealer sometimes runs a little close because there's so many people that he needs to service.
Right.
So when it's in the dealer's show and they're doing it, they can take their time and add the embellishments and that to it.
Right. Well, it's all doing well, and as we reach the end, as I said, I'll touch base with you again and see after you're catching a breath.
See if I'm still in a happy mood.
All right. That was Sal Manfredo, who's the president of the Sure CAOM, and also James Mayer. Thank you, James.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Let's get a seat.
So the Magic Word Podcast. Yeah, we better catch a seat. This is Scotty out. All right, well, as we're starting the evening show, we've only got about 2 minutes to go, but I thought I would quickly talk with Alex Gutierrez, who is the talent chairman over here. How's it going, Alex?
Pretty good.
So, nice do you have some nice challenges trying to get some things going for this convention?
It's hard to find some good stage acts, but I looked around, asked for recommendations, and came up with a good array of talent for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You do have a good lineup, I think, that's going to be coming up then also. And that's I've heard that before, that a lot of people do close-up, and not everybody does stage. It's hard to get stage acts.
Exactly. And then some of the stage acts, a lot of magicians are going towards comedy magic.
True.
So it's hard to find good manipulators, good dove workers, etc.
And illusionists.
Illusionists, etc., etc. So it's challenging.
So have you got a few people who have fit that bill?
We've got Scott Pepper closing tonight, the Illusion Act. Got Chris Capehart working tomorrow. Got Nick Lewin. So those are pretty good performers.
Pretty solid. All right. Well, it looks like that they're dimming the lights. They're getting ready to start.
Showtime.
There he is. All right. Thanks very much, Alex. Appreciate it. for the Magic Word Podcast. I was Alex Gutierrez. Scotty out. All right, so now I'm with, we just finished the evening show, and I'm over here with Russell Bruce, actually from Las Vegas. Hey there, Russell.
Hi.
And we had spoke with him many years ago, actually, that he was, Russell was one who was working with Siegfried and Roy, and you were there on the last night, weren't you, also,
yeah.
whenever
yeah.
the Roy had gotten bitten?
Yes.
Yeah. And your memory of that was a bummer. It's into your career.
Well, it's into everybody's career.
Everybody, yeah.
Some of the people, they were married. So you had somebody in wardrobe who was married to one of the carpenters, so they lost their total income and their house and ended up having to move back in with parents.
As a result of losing their job, basically. On
exactly.
That, on that kind
no
of thing.
Income.
They employed a lot of people, I guess. How many people were on staff back then?
I'm going to guess about 300 or 400 because
wow.
you're talking about the dancers, the crew, the house people, the ticket people, and bar people.
Yeah.
So quite a few people.
Wow. Wow. Now, you were saying that Las Vegas has changed. Now, over the last 15 years. It's been 15 years. Is that right? Is that how long it's been?
Since Roy was bit, yeah. Wow. I think it's over 15.
And you now work for Ka at
yeah.
Cirque du Soleil. That's a pretty awesome show.
Yeah, very much so. It's
you were in charge of props, weren't you, with Siegfried and Roy?
I'm not in charge of. I worked in the props department okay. and also work in the props department of the Ka show.
Okay. And so now you're still in the props department.
Yeah, still in the props department
yeah,
there. However, Vegas is about to go through a dramatic change, mainly because of MGM and Cirque. We're going about to step back about 30 years in time back to when I first moved out to Las Vegas. All of the rooms, or at least under the MGM hotels, is going to turn into what's called four-wall policy.
Mm-hmm.
So the hotels themselves are no longer going to throw out the millions of dollars it takes to renovate a room for a new show. It's all going to be in the hands of the producer. So as of January, we are all going to basically be fired by MGM and then rehired by Cirque du Soleil.
So your paycheck currently comes from MGM.
That's correct.
And it will be coming soon from Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil.
Interesting. How many people are in the Ka show?
That's a tough one to answer.
You said about 300, you know, with Siegfried and Roy. More than that?
I think it was more than that because the theater is so huge. The stage itself is 9 stories tall.
Wow. I've not seen the show yet. I'd love to come see it.
It's pretty spectacular. It's very high tech. It's probably one of the most dangerous theaters in the world. The potential for fall hazards backstage is immense.
Have you had some?
Oh, yeah.
And people injured, broke their legs? Or
and died.
And died, actually?
Yeah.
How many? Like more than one?
Just one.
Just one. Well, goodness.
And,
wow.
One girl just recently had her toe crushed because there are multiple lifts
moving
back and forth.
Yeah.
So you could be standing on a lift, and where behind you there would be a floor one moment, there's an open hole the next. So unless you know what you're doing, you could turn and just accidentally fall into an open hole.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's an extremely dangerous place. Most of the people that are there have been there for 15 years, so they know the movements of what's happening backstage, and they know how to avoid the problems.
But those who are new?
Those that are new, you try to warn them as best you can of the dangers of what can happen backstage. In this particular instance of this girl, she was standing next on a concrete slab when one of the floors was coming down.
Oh,
she did not realize her toe was sticking over the edge of the concrete.
Right, and it just took it off.
And it didn't take it off, just crushed her toe.
Oh,
from what I understand, the x-ray showed that the bone had just been pulverized. So
it's not growing back.
She's
still, amputated,
she's still with the show.
Yeah, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
She's a dancer, I guess.
No, she's one of the crew.
Oh, a crew. She's not a dancer. Oh, that's
no,
interesting.
Not
so she was just kind of, okay, standing back behind
yeah.
her. Interesting.
Yeah, it was just it was a set change from one scene to the next as the lifts are coming down.
So the change to going to four walls, I recall that David Sachse was the one that kind of started all that.
Not really. It started way before David Sachse. In fact, his family, Melinda, First Lady of Magic, she was around in Vegas performing when the four-wall situation was in place. Most of the shows in Vegas of 1988 were four walls. The producer would come in, and four-wall basically means the hotel is renting you a theater, but all they're renting you is the four walls.
Okay.
So you, as a producer, have to supply your crew, the dancers, the sets, the curtains, and in some cases, the house crew that serves drinks and seats people.
Maybe the union and everything, too?
Possibly. Most of the MGM properties are non-union.
Okay.
I think with the exception of, I believe it's Luxor. As I said, we're going back in time. MGM, as I said, they're firing us in January, and Cirque's going to pick us up. So it's a big question right now as to what's going to happen in Las Vegas. Are we going to have these big multi-million-dollar extravaganza shows, or are we going to go back to 1988 where the shows were just very small?
Mm-hmm. Like the Rat Pack when they came in.
Pretty much. Yeah, very the original show I started with was Abracadabra at the Aladdin Hotel. So it only required, I think, 7 people crew-wise backstage. No, actually, I think it required 7 people total, because that was lighting, sound, spotlights, and backstage crew. I think backstage crew, there was like 2 people on stage left and 2 people on stage right.
And that was it.
No, it was very small.
Yeah.
So, as in the Cause show, the one main deck that moves in most any direction is 25 by 50. The Aladdin theater, the Baghdad theater at the time, was probably, that was the entire stage itself. Whereas now with these mega shows, it's, I couldn't even begin. I think the Siegfried and Roy's proscenium was like about 75 feet across.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, it's broad, huge.
Yeah. Let's head back. Interesting. All right. All right, well, getting ready to head back then. Also, Russell, it's always good to catch up with you.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
Wish us luck in Las Vegas.
I am wishing you luck. I'm with you. Thanks a lot. That was Russell Bruce. This is Scotty out. You know, tonight's show is really good, and we're going to talk about that more tomorrow when I have a few more people to kind of give their input on this as well. But I think for right now, that's going to be pretty much a wrap for day number one. I hope that you enjoyed it. Come back tomorrow for day number two. This is Scotty out.